MenaWatch, der unabhängige Nahost-Think-Tank.
Welcome to a new episode of Mena Talk. My name is Yasmin Aremi. I'm a journalist at MenaWatch and I'm delighted to welcome today Bran Liebmann from Israel. Bran is an educator, trainer and influencer who works extensively on issues like anti-Semitism, diversity and inclusion. Nice to have you here, Bran. Could you briefly describe to our audience your personal and professional background?
Yeah, sure. So thank you, first of all, for welcoming me into this TV show. And I'm very excited. And thank you for giving this my unique voice to be heard. And my name is Bran Liebmann. I live in Jerusalem and I was born in Ethiopia. I moved to Israel when I was a baby. And, you know, my father used to tell me about his life in Ethiopia as a Jewish man and how much effort he was doing to maintain his Jewish life. And now that, and I grew up on these stories about my identity, about my heritage, about my own people. But I grew up like in very complex identity of like, who am I first? Am I an Israeli woman first? Am I Jewish first? Am I black first? Like, what is the major identity that called Bran? And I had a lot of scenarios in my life that shaped this identity. And October 7th happened. And I see on social media the rising and the burst of anti-Semitism. And instead of people showing humble of what happened on October 7th, they just attacking us, they sharing lies and misinformation. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I'm opening my Instagram and I see on one story that one of my friends died on October 7th. And also one of my friend is missing. And you start to worry and you start to get the shock and the fear and all of this uncertainty emotions. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going to be next? Are we going to live? Are we going to die? Like, is this the end of the world right now? And I'm opening my Instagram and then I'm seeing that Bran, the Ethiopian Jewish woman, I'm a white colonizer. And I get comments like, go back to Africa. This is not your place. You're not belong here. And I understood that someone else is telling my own story. Someone else deciding for me, what is the story that I need, that people need to know about me. And I started to share the history and the heritage of Ethiopian Jews. So I will create a unity among us, among Jews and non-Jews, among communities in the Jewish community, and to bring more tolerance and love. And of course, that to say, you are not going to share my story. I'm the one who's going to share my story. I'm the one who's going to decide what I'm going to do. So I started to share content about Ethiopian Jews and how Ethiopian Jews were celebrated Passover in Ethiopia. What are the differences in the holidays? I also got recently married 5 months ago. And I also shared like what is our unique traditions that we are doing, why we are doing this, to show the world who are the Ethiopian Jews, who are the Bet Israel. And I also started to do talks to groups that came to Israel, like Jewish organizations, and also flew to the States and with organizations to speak about Ethiopian Jews. And I'm also doing this on my social media, on online events. And that's what shifted me, that no one will share my own story. I'm the one who's going to share my own story. And I'm the one who's going to tell you who am I? And that's what I'm here today.
I think the most unique thing about your Instagram account is also that you're a very empowerment and constructive person. So it's very positive. And I think it's also something we can also catch on in this talk here. But maybe you can explain shortly about the diaspora community in Israel and that Jewish people are not white colonizers. Maybe you can just open a little bit and share your experiences about that.
Yeah, sure. So I'll do a little bit history recap. So after the Jews were here in Israel for thousands of years, and then we had two temples. So both of them are not existed anymore. And after each one of the destruction of the temple, we were exiled. We were going to the diaspora. Some of the tribes were going to Rome, like or to Babylon, and it's a different type of the history where Jews were expelled from their own land outside Israel. Now, in 1947, Jews came back and rebuilt their nation. So Jews came from Europe, Jews came from Africa, Jews came from Asia to Israel to rebuild their nation. Now, people think it's like white people who's coming to a land and conquer it and like displacing the Palestinians, but it's not true. It's Jews coming back to their homeland, and they were doing this in legal actions such as buying lands and such as staying here in Israel and coming back to their home. Now, it doesn't mean that I believe that Palestinians should be displaced from Israel. We should find a solution of living together as one civilization because they also have a connection to the land. For Ethiopian Jews, the story is a little bit different. So they were exiled before the first temple destruction, and they went from Israel. The story, if you ask the people, the elders in my community, they will say to you that we came from the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Dan or the tribe of Judea. And we were from Israel. We went south to Egypt. And from Egypt, we went through the Nile River to one of its sources, which is Tana Lake, which is in Ethiopia. And then they were in Ethiopia for a hundred of years. Now, the way Ethiopian Jews practiced Judaism was different than the way the rest of the diaspora Jews and the Jewish communities were practicing. If I'm talking too much, let me know because I can speak for hours. So if you want to say something or something, please feel free.
Yes. You can go on. It's interesting. Okay. I think the basics and the background is important to understand what you're doing. So we should go on, and there is so much misinformation. So I think it's important.
And they developed a unique tradition. Well, they preserved a unique tradition was that it was ancient and it was practiced as it was in the Bible, in the Torah. Call it Torah, we call it Orit. Now, when we came to Israel, we needed to face a lot of challenges and a lot of differences between how we preserved the Judaism and how the other Jewish communities were preserving it now. And that's the history of it. And the dream of my family was always to return to Jerusalem. In our community, we have girls that they name after the name Jerusalem. We call them Yerus or Jerusalem because this deep desire and deep connection that we have for Jerusalem, for the Jewish nation, for Israel, and the yearning to return into that one day we will be here in the land. And that's what happened. That's a fulfillment of thousands of years of a dream that finally came true.
Would you say that the diaspora perspectives in Israel contribute also constructively to political debates or make a difference in some of the points in political daily decisions?
From what I know, the Jewish community is playing a significant role in strengthening the Israel society here. They donating a lot of money to programs here that the government does not fund. For example, I know a Jewish organization in the state, the Jewish Federation of Philadelphia, who funds program that helps Ethiopian Jewish Israeli students to go to university and escort them along the way, throughout all the way. So they will do this jump, like this financial jump, and they will be the first generation of like high education, even though education was also existed in Ethiopia and also in the Jewish communities, but not as paper and I don't know, going to high school or schools. The wisdom was measured different by connecting to earth, connecting to God, connecting to the community. So that's like one note that I wanted to say. And they have a significant role. And also they have a significant role by not hiding who they are and not afraid from showing their Jewish identity. I feel like because the Jews are surrounded by non-Jews, the automatic response is to hide who I am in order to integrate, in order to be accepted. But the truth is that as long as you're not going to accept yourself, no one is going to accept you. And one of the significant roles of the Jewish community in the diaspora that they need to do is to adopt back their Jewish pride, their Jewish identity. And it can come in various ways. If it's like maintaining holidays, connecting to the Creator, connecting to your Jewish community, understanding what is your role in this world, to be light for others, to help others, to be there to work for unity. And I believe, like, once you say, yeah, I'm Jewish, I'm not afraid to say it. Okay, some people will not accept it and will hate you. Some people will accept it, but the source is to accept yourself and to accept that identity and to understand that it comes with responsibility. And that responsibility, it's also between both of us, but it's also between us and the non-Jewish communities.
At the beginning, I also introduced you as like an educator because you are traveling the US and talking about this topic also on US colleges and stuff. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and what motivates you to do that? What was your way to go so far and try to educate? Was it the 7th of October? Was it something different?
So I went to delegations through certain organizations. Each time was a different organization. And my target was to bring truth, to bring my own perspective, and to bring me, the presence of me, break a lot of stereotypes of who is a Jew. Because a lot of people think that Jews are only white or Jews are only Ashkenazim, because that's the majority of the communities, of the Jewish communities in the States, and also, I guess, in the diaspora. I'm not familiar in Europe or in Germany, but that's what people think. And when they see me, it's hard for them to comprehend, like, how? Who are you? Really? You live in Israel? What, you are Jewish? And the presence of me says, yes, I'm Jewish. And the Jewish story is still untold, and they are much more diverse. Like, most of Israelis are not Ashkenazi here in Israel. They come from the Middle East countries, they come from North African countries like Algeria, Libya, Ethiopia, and there are even more Jews that are going to come, God will, from other Jewish communities like Tanzania, Madagascar. There's still more Jewish communities that says, hey, we're Jews and we want to go back home. So we're still in the process of bringing back the tribes, the Jewish communities home. And I came with this mindset that I want to bring unity and I want to have discussion. And when I went to some of the universities, I went to Washington Square Park and I had talks with Afro-Americans about a lot of stereotypes that they had about Jews and about Israel, and a lot of things I disagreed with them and I explained it to them. And a lot of things I said, okay, that was wrong. The specific video that you watch online of Haredi spitting on a Christian, that is wrong. But most of Haredim or people that I know have no problems with Christians. And then they're like, oh, I need to check it. I need to look for it more. And then they're bringing another topic. And I felt like the Afro-Americans were more feeling comfortable to speak with me and willing to speak with me more. And that opened up a conversation to get to know each other and to understand the pain of each other and to say, listen, this is wrong, or this is not true, or I'm living in Israel, so I know that you can do X, Y, Z. And like a lot of stereotypes that they have about the Ethiopian Jews, that they got the sterilization by the government, and they're riding on the pain of the community that there was misinformation that women from the community got injection of Depo-Provera. So it's a contraceptive injections that women get. And there were miscommunication of if they want to get that or if that's the right thing for their body. Like, no one communicated with them about other options. And that's that sad thing that the government of Israel was doing. I'm not saying that I'm not like a person that will say, oh, the Israel government is perfect. And of course that I'm for the Israel government. No, there were some mistakes that Israel government was doing. And doesn't mean that this is not my home. Because in one family, you can argue with your mom, you can argue with your dad, but it's still your home. And we're doing changes for that. So to take that truth and to manipulate it to something that is totally different in order to make us not look good, but and also it's not helping the community. If you were very careful and thoughtful and really want to do a change, maybe you would donate money for the Ethiopian Jewish communities. Maybe you would do advocacy for the Ethiopian Jewish community here in Israel or in the diaspora. But it's coming from a place that there is a Jew hatred and Israel hatred beneath it. So that was like one of the things that I also spoke about it. And I went to Texas, I went to Los Angeles, I went to New York, and also Midwest countries. And the target is to bring unity, like, and to bring misconceptions. A lot of people think about me like, oh, you live in Israel, so you probably pro Bibi Netanyahu. And I'm like, oh, you live in the States, you're probably pro Trump. No, I'm not pro Trump. So how do you guess about me that I'm pro Bibi? Like, what gives you this? So it's bring like things down and like just to have a communication. And I understood that sometimes it's frustrating, it's tiring. Because some people don't want to listen. Some people will just scream on you. They're full of hatred, especially young people. I found it more easy to speak with people who are more adults. And they had the information that they got, but they were able to have a conversation with me. But with others, especially the young generation who are in universities, it was difficult to have a conversation. I didn't think we should speak to them because they're full of hate. And if someone hates you, there is no way to skip that gap or to close that gap. But what we can do is to strengthen the Jewish identity and not to be afraid of supporting your own people and supporting the nation of Israel.
Younger people are often informed via internet, like TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts. I think that's one problem. They have like the most narratives about a really misguided Israel, I guess. Would you say like the social media has influenced the way over the last years, how they also how the media speaks about Israel?
First, you can see that on social media, there are tons of pages who promote Jewish hatred, and they probably have funding because they're big, big, big pages. I'm talking like, for example, the Eye of Palestine. And sometimes they're spreading misinformation. Even the newsletters, the newsletter in the state, I think there was a New York Times that was taking a picture, and apparently it was AI of a baby, that it's not true. So, and it's already gone, like 7 million people already saw it, and they are going to continue with their daily life. They're not going to check if it's true or if it's not. So it's definitely in the favor of Jew hatred and anti-Semitism in every aspect. And you can see how the hatred goes to when Israelis are going outside the country, they facing hate, they facing anti-Semitism if like it's a bad treatment in hotel or in restaurants. And Jews are the only people who are attacked of being Jews. Like, for example, you will not see someone will attack Russian or Ukrainian just because there is a war between Russia and Ukraine. But if Israel is being attacked, or if there is a war here, Jews in London will be probably attacked. Jews in Texas will be attacked. Jews need to hide behind fences. I'm not saying Israel is perfect. We do have like our own things that we need to improve, but this deep Jew hatred that is designed through the social media and makes people hate Jews without even know them, it makes Jews in the diaspora be less protected. If it's in universities, if it's in synagogues that they need protection, if it's in going outside for a walk, one of the solutions is first, move to Israel. Second, if you don't want to move your whole life to Israel, not be afraid of who you are and to not hide your identity. Like I remember when I was in Ohio, like we were in university and we were opening a table. We are Israelis, ask us anything. And there was a student that came to us and he was taking his necklace, it was a David star, and he was taking this off, and he was showing it to us, and he's like, thank you for being here. Now I'm going to be more proud of myself. And then he went to the class. And this experience of unity, like we are here for each other. We need to do more events with each other, especially when there are different political opinions and different approaches of Judaism. And, you know, within the Jewish community, there's a lot of diversity. And sometimes we need to come together to do events and to see how to do things together. And also to do events with non-Jews, with communities that are interested or curious, and to show them. Yeah. And especially Jewish education from a very young age, it should be accessible, it should be reachable, and that every Jew, no matter what his financial situation, should have a Jewish education that he will feel more connected.
Talking about your online world, you are very present on Instagram, like with 22,000 and up followers. What kind of criticism or backlash are you facing, and how do you typically respond? Are you just blocking, ignoring, or do you think like you go into like a dialogue or something?
I remember uploading a video with my husband and people says, no, you are from Europe and she's from Ethiopia. Do you have a genealogical proof of that? They don't accept colored people in Israel. You ain't from Israel, honey. Ethiopian black woman thinking she is native to Palestine. God's chosen toilets, emoji of shit and thrown up. Modern day slavery for blacks. And the list go on. And the list go on, yeah.
What are you doing with the comments? Are you normally deleting?
No, because I don't want to spend energy on that. So if someone is writing me like in my DMs, like a message, and I got also in my email, like, I'm from Iran, we're going to kill you or something like threatening, I'm just blocking. And I'm also blocking from my DMs. But if it's like on the comments, I'm leaving it there so people will see how much there's no way of conversation. And when one side dehumanize each other, he can do whatever he wants. And like people support them, which they are cursing and say us and less than humans. And that just shows who they really are. And I remember there was like one moment, I think like 2 years ago, when I opened TikTok and I got so much hate, but like in tons. And I was like, wow, like it affects me. It makes me sad that people don't like me. But I did my inner work and I also balanced it because I get also positive DMs and positive comments. But wow, you strengthened my Jewish identity. Hey, I'm sending you regards from Jamaica. I didn't know this. Wow, I'm from Australia and I wasn't aware about the Ethiopian Jewish heritage. So it's balancing the negative comments that I'm getting. And a lot of them are bots. Like if you will go to their profile, you will see that it's not a real person, or there's like a tomato in the profile picture or like something random. If it's a person, so then I'm having like a conversation in the comments, or just ignore him, or just trying to have a conversation in the DMs. And yeah, everything has a price. And if the price of being seen is, it's also to get hate, but the price of being seen, it's also to influence and to also to transform people to feel dignity and to feel belongingness and to feel that they have a home. And some people will say those stuffs as well.
You're a very constructive person. So how do you personally navigate through moments like that when like there is a video which responds with so much hate against you? What is your inner channeling and what are you doing? What are your solutions about that?
I'm sharing that I love to be in the nature and that what brings me back to center and to speak to God and to be connected to him, to guide me and to show me what I need to do in every step. And to look at the bigger picture. Once I have the bigger picture and I am influencing people and I know I'm transforming people's opinions and bringing more unity, that's what I need to be focusing on.
Do you have like the feeling that the discourse around the younger globally connected audiences will shape the next years again? Or do you think we are at a point, because you said also move to Israel is one solution, that Israel also don't have any possibility to stop all the online hate also coming from Iran, from bots? and so on from Russia. Do you think there is a solution about that? It's going to be a little bit like a positive outreach, or is it like lost?
I'll give you what I think. The anti-Semitism, it's not rational, and it's a response for Jews being disconnected from themselves. I believe the more we will have less inner conflicts and inner doubts and inner fears about ourselves, about our identity, and we will go to heal those parts, we will see more peace and more tolerance outside. That's from my spiritual perspective and the inner work that I am doing. So the more I heal part of myself that needs peace, that needs certainty, that needs serenity, that needs love, that needs compassion, and I find it within myself, and I know it's like a little bit woo-woo answer, but that's how I see it, we will see less anti-Semitism and less hate, because we are connected to ourselves and we know who we are. Part of the things is to know who are the Jewish people. What is the background? What is your background? What is the background of Indian Jews? What is the background of Ethiopian Jews? What is the background of Mashadi Jews, like Persian Jews who were forcibly converted to Islam? What is the story of Tanzanian Jews? So we don't know that. And we don't know part of our own history. And we need to know that. So no one will tell our history, and no one will say to us, oh, you not belong here, you not belong there. No, I belong there because I know what is the source and the thousands of years of connection that I have to this land, and from a father to a son, and a father to a son, and a father to a son. And it goes and traces back to the 12 tribes, and we are part of a big family, and we need to remember that. We're not individuals, we're a nation, we're a civilization.
So more strengthening from within than to just focus on all the noise outside. If you could encourage the audience to adopt one mindset or approach when engaging with all these topics we were talking about, what would it be?
In order to get to know yourself, you have to give space and time in the day when you leave everything and focus 10 minutes, or maybe 20, maybe 30 minutes on yourself, about your thoughts, about what is the reflection that you have towards other people, or towards Israel, or towards your Jewish neighbor, or your synagogue, and like, what do you think about it? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Like, just reflect. Once you reflect, then you will popping out from your mind answers to questions that you have. And then how do I do a change within myself? How do I do a change within my Jewish community? How do I do a change within other Jewish communities or Israel? And the more you're connected to yourself, you will feel less hate from the outside. The hate just reminds you that you need to love yourself and to accept yourself and to know yourself. And that's a daily homework. It's easy for us to do something else and to run to outside and to run to this person and to that mall and to this movie, except of just sitting with myself and to do this inner work. But this inner work is the fastest way to a change.
Thank you so much for the valuable insights and your time, Bran. We will just link your profile, and the people can also get a view on your Instagram, I think, on your TikTok as well, if you want to. If you're interested in Mina Talk, then you can also follow us on YouTube. Thank you so much for the talk today. And thank you, Bran. And see you the next time.
Mina Watch, der unabhängige Nahost-Think-Tank. Besuchen Sie auch unsere Website. Dort finden Sie täglich neue aktuelle Berichte und ausführliche wissenschaftlich fundierte Hintergrundanalysen zur Geschichte und Gegenwart der MENA-Region. Der Nahost-Think-Tank. Besuchen Sie auch unsere Website. Dort finden Sie täglich neue aktuelle Berichte und ausführliche wissenschaftlich fundierte Hintergrundanalysen zur Geschichte und Gegenwart der MENA-Region.
Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think-Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns.